is John Clark from MoCap.
Thank you very much indeed. June 15th, 3 years ago, the march to the Ontario Legislature that took place on that day was not, as the Crown Prosecutor Vincent Paris suggested, a planned riot. But what it was a march to the legislature to raise not just militant demands, but to raise before the entire movement in this province the notion that the government could be responded to not merely with futile protest, but with a movement of resistance that could pose the possibility of defeating that government. We came there to say that, and we came there to take a stand on that basis. And that was our crime. Our crime was that we suggested to people who were the victims of this government that it was not necessary to endure the abuses that they were bringing down on people's heads. It was possible to fight them decisively and to defeat them. And that remains possible today. I take a certain pride in the way certainly people stood their ground on the lawns that day at Queen's Park, but I also take a certain pride in the way OCAP has continued to stay strong and to grow and to expand and to build its influence in the face of the attacks that took place following June 15th. There were a large number of arrests, that is true. There was, following that, at every mobilisation we carried out, insane police mobilisation. Remember them mobilising 6 or 7 different police forces. They didn't have enough cops in Toronto. The mobilisations were mad after June 15th. And the Crown and the police launched an operation against us on a scale that was mind-boggling. They went all the way to the Supreme Court of Canada to win the right to subpoena all the video footage for the day. They seconded detectives to the intelligence section on an enormous scale. They put into effect a plan to jail a whole number of people, and the jury trial especially, where they laid these incredible public order provisions of the criminal code that had lain dormant essentially for decades. They put resources into trying to crush us that was mind-boggling. In fact, there is no doubt that if we could have 10% of what they've spent on trying to destroy us, we wouldn't have to do any fundraising for the next 100 years. The fact is, we stand here 3 years later, still here, stronger, more determined than ever. And in the period that has followed, we've seen the march on the financial district on October the 16th,
yeah,
where we learned a few things from June 16th. We've seen the growth and the formation of organisations. We've seen the Ontario Common Front emerge with all the possibilities that exist for people to coordinate throughout the province. We saw the Pope Squat, and we saw what they did. We saw what they did try to launch this unprecedented legal attack in the form of the jury trial, us able to mount a principled but legally effective defence that led to a mistrial. And we go back. That too, in a very clear sense, was enormous political victory. Because when you fight them in court, it's like jumping in a fish tank with a shark, in the sense that you're fighting on their terrain, under their terms, and you have to conduct yourself accordingly. But still, we were able to mount, and my lawyer, Peter Rosenthal, is here. Sue just points out to me very correctly that I should say with regards to Peter that there is one minor mistake that Kristen made. She said that when we went to court, we were the only people who weren't being paid to be there. As a matter of fact, Peter Rosenthal wasn't paid to be there either. I can't thank him enough. we launched this principled defence, and I think it was an enormous political victory, because their calculation was that they could put a bunch of people in the jury box, bring 20 cops, put them on the witness stand, show some videotapes, come up with all kind of whacked out theories about chickens giving the lead to the riot and whatever else, and at the end of the day, that the jury would automatically accept. And what actually happened was that the political divisions that have been created in Ontario raised their head in the jury room. There was a class struggle going on in that jury room, and the conditions are a little odd, a little bizarre, but that's what happened. Then we struck a chord, and we won political support, and we won respect. We go back to court on Wednesday, 9 o'clock, 361 University. I hope people will come out and show their support, and I hope they decide that it's a losing proposition to try for a second trial, but if they go again, we'll fight them on exactly the same basis, and we'll win another political victory. As pivotal and historic as it is, I'd also like to point to something far more important, and that is the chance we have now to challenge this conservative regime in the province of Ontario that has emerged. In that they are delaying, they are prevaricating, they don't quite know how to play it, but very soon they are going to have to bite the bullet, and they're going to have to call an election. And they're going to have to go on the campaign trail. And Ernie Eves, after all kinds of unprincipled shenanigans, trying to pretend he's a kinder, gentler Tory and other such crap, has finally reverted to his old role of Harris's finance minister and come up with an election platform that is mind-boggling in its ferocious social retrogression. It is an attack, and a further and deeper attack on all the social infrastructure of the province, and it drips with bigotry and racism and immigrant bashing in a way that is absolutely mind-boggling and appalling and dreadful. And I would like to say very, very clearly that we would cover ourselves in shame if we allowed that party to run an election campaign where they went around and kissed babies and cut ribbons and smiled for the cameras, and the anger and outrage and indignation that their election platform creates is not there in their face confronting them as they go on the election trail. Yeah. I think they need to be confronted. Their candidates need to be confronted. Their leader needs to be confronted. Their campaign offices need to be visited systematically. There needs to be an ongoing counter-campaign to what the Tories are doing. And if anyone remembers, in 1990, the initiative that was taken up against the Peterson government, the protest movement that took place on the election campaign trail, was quite decisive in defeating Peterson. And Peterson was a benign, kind-hearted man of the people compared to the people that we're confronting today. And if we took the anger that exists in communities, gave a lead, created momentum, we could create a situation where this government on the campaign trail was challenged in a way that we haven't seen for a very, very long period of time, and make the anger and resistance the unspoken dominant theme of the whole campaign. In fact, we could create a situation where when Eves' entourage goes around, it's very easy to pick out, because there's one bus for Ernie Eves and his people, one bus for the media, and 10 for the riot cops. And so there is no question that we are going to say to them, after all you have done, after all the misery and death that you have created, you are not going to come to our doors of our homes, those of us who still have homes, and pat our kids on the head and shake hands with us and try to pretend that this is all just some nice, kind, polite exercise. We're going to take the anger that exists and we're going to mobilise it against you. And not only are we going to mobilise it against you, but we are going to demand that all the damage that has been done by the Tories be repaired. Yeah. We're going to demand of the next government, whether it be a Liberal majority, whether it be a minority Liberal government propped up by NDP cabinet ministers, I don't know what it will be, but whatever it's going to be, we have to go to them. And we have to say that we demand the right to housing. We demand that there be nobody on the waiting list for social housing in this province. Right to decent income, to a minimum wage, to living wage, to social assistance payments that enable people to live with dignity. And we say this as well, that we demand full political and social rights for all people who come to this province seeking refuge and an end to all kinds of racist hate campaigns against immigrants. Yes. Because if we... million more immigrants in this province and put the Tory cabinet adrift in the North Atlantic, we'd be getting a very good deal. So let me also say that as a conclusion, I think, that OCAP members have had to face a lot, and OCAP supporters have had to face a lot in terms of challenges over the last while. Some of us have gone to jail, some of us have been in court, some of us have faced serious charges, some of us have operated with onerous bail conditions hanging over our heads. But we are very clear about who the real criminals are and who needs to be dealt with as criminals. Let me just remind you of this little story. When James Flaherty, someone that we've visited a couple of times, James Flaherty, when he ran for leader of the Conservative Party, he was asked at a press conference, what do you think about the case of Kimberly Rogers? That is the woman on welfare who died under house arrest in Sudbury, who was 8 months pregnant at the time and who died. And Flaherty's response was, I'm not sure that I remember that name. Well, let me tell you that we remember Kimberly Rogers as we remember Brian Boyd. We remember all the people that have been victims of homelessness and poverty in this province. We remember them, and we remember them very clearly. And I'll tell you something, those bastards are going to hear those names on the election campaign. Momentum, we're going to build an alliance of people ready to mobilise against them. They are the criminals. The verdict is in, and the sentence is going to be their political destruction, and let's put that into effect. Thank you. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.